the Titans have made another free agent signing, and they've been connected to a number of different players in free agency and on the trade market. Lots of rumors, lots of reports. We're going to run through all of those and how realistic they are, plus break down what O-line Sadiq Charles brings to the Titans. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Oh, welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver. With me, as always, Justin Mello. And as I mentioned there off the top, we got a ton of rumors to run through here. A bunch of guys in free agency and on the trade market that the Titans have been connected to by various reports. We're going to run through all of those. We're going to talk about how realistic the signing potential is for these guys, what kind of deals they would net, and what they can bring to the Titans if the Titans do go ahead and sign them. But first, the Titans have signed offensive lineman Sadiq Charles. Who is he? We're going to tell you who he is and how he fits in with the Titans here. But before we get into all that, let me tell you, this episode is brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. So Justin, let's talk about Sadiq Charles. A lot of people probably don't know who he is. Well, he's the former starting left tackle for the 2019 LSU championship team. The Titans signed a champion. Does this make them Super Bowl favorites?
Well, you know what's funny? I don't want to sound like a football elitist, but I saw so many Titans fans being like, who is this? And right away, I'm like, I remember he started on that LSU team with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Like, I remember him so well. It helps that I'm such a big draft guy. And I ended up going through my records because I couldn't say for sure, but I did interview him his draft year. So that probably helped with the name recognition for me. He played next to Lloyd Cushenberry on that line, fellow new Tennessee Titans offensive lineman. As much as I've started all positively, so to speak, I've got questions about this one, and I think you probably do as well. Drafted in the fourth round of the 2020 draft by the Washington Commanders, spent his entire four-year rookie contract there. First couple years as a backup, you know, played snaps every, not so much as a rookie, but played in 2021 and 22 as a backup. Of course, injuries are going to happen. Actually got a couple snaps at tackle in 2021 before they essentially admitted he's a guard in 2022. And this past year, he wins a starting job at left guard. He ends up playing 650 snaps approximately there at left guard. Wasn't just on him, but that was probably the worst line in the league. Like, you think the Titans were bad? They were worse. You know, Pro Football Focus credits him with giving up four sacks and 37 pressures across 643 total snaps, not all of which were in pass pro, obviously. So the numbers look worse when you break them down versus, you know, to pass pro and run blocking splits. Quarterback Sam Howell was sacked a league high 65 times this past year, or 63 times, I think it was. Right, like there's questions there, right? And on top of it, you know, if you're signing him to be like your seventh or eighth lineman, this is what's most curious to me, is doesn't it feel like they already have a bunch of those types on the roster, right? Like, I mean, maybe not so much on the interior, I guess, because if you're factoring that Skoronski and Brunskill are your starters, but you also have, you know, Dylan Raidens, who I hope and think is going to be the right guard, or at least get a and if he's not a starter, he shouldn't be the starting right tackle, to make my feelings clear. But if he's not a starter, he shouldn't be a swing, you know, tackle guard, sort of what Charles is, right? And then maybe you flirt with Petit Frere or Duncan getting some reps at guard this summer, considering they looked so bad at tackle. So I thought, and the other thing that came to my mind, and maybe I'm fleshing this out too much, but is this a case of Rand Carthon, you know, getting some of his guys there? Like, you know, he didn't draft Petit Frere, you know, I don't think anyone knows for sure. And I might regret saying this, but like, did Rand Carthon run the 2023 draft? And Mike Vrabel, like, we've heard so much of that stuff on both ends of the spectrum. Was Jalen Duncan a Rand Carthon guy or a Mike Vrabel guy, right? That might play a role in a decision to go get a different guy here in Charles. And, you know, you would think, you know, Bill Callahan maybe signed off on this. He's still a 24-year-old lineman that moves well for his size, by the way. He's got some good athletic pop. The questions on him, and I saw, you know, James Foster, our buddy, No Flags Film, tweeted out a great compilation, and Mike Herndon did some stuff as well. But the question on him, and it's funny, it almost reminds me a bit of Petit Frere, right? Picking up stunts in games, like really difficult for him. Inside counter moves seem to always beat him, especially when he was out there at tackle. It's part of the reason why he makes more sense at guard. You're not going to put him out there on that island at tackle. It's just, his game's just not suited to that. So I got a lot of questions because I felt like, you know, he hasn't been very good, number one. Number two, you still need starting linemen. Now, it doesn't matter which order you sign players in, right? If backups, as long as you get them all, that's all that matters. But I thought they had a couple guys on the roster that are maybe – he's not going to play center for you and not even backup center. So I thought they had a couple guys that were similar, but I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the contract is 1 year, $2.5 million. Sorry, up to $2.5 million. So this is a depth-level contract. This isn't even a contract that guarantees he makes the roster coming out of training camp. This is a depth signing. I think ideally he slots in as your eighth offensive lineman, sort of like a Corey Levin replacement here, because you're going to have a swing tackle, and then hopefully the Titans have a new starting right guard, which would make Daniel Brunskill your swing guy on the interior of the O-line, and then Sadiq Charles would be the next guy off the bench. If there's another injury, he can play everywhere on the offensive line minus the center position. He's been much better as a guard throughout his career than he has been as a tackle, although he hasn't been particularly good as a starter at either spot. So again, ideally you want him coming off the bench. I would be honestly surprised if he plays any snaps for the Titans this year. If he does, that means that there's been injury, catastrophic injuries along the offensive line, and you're working with, you know, big time depth. And like I said, there's no guarantee he even makes the roster. So, you know, there's been lots of Twitter clips floating around about him since the signing was announced, and most of them are bad. There's been some good ones too. I mean, this guy out in space, there's one clip floating around of him running out on, I think it was a screen, where he goes out and demolishes the cornerback or defensive back out in space. So ability to move out there, line up a block, execute it, not miss that block in space. So I think that there are some good qualities to his game. He's athletic. I think the Titans maybe see him as a guy they can mold with Bill Callahan into a better player than he's been. But again, I think he's mostly a depth signing. So I'm not going to be concerned with this one. I think this is just one you write off as a backup guy and move on to your next signing.
No, I agree with you. I'm still waiting for a domino to fall at tackle, right? There's just no way in hell that they can get through this period without signing a tackle that's capable of starting. You know what my preference is there? It would be a right tackle, so you could maybe draft a left. Like Jonah Williams is still out there. Morgan Moses just got traded to the New York Jets, by the way, while we're doing this live from the Baltimore Ravens. Like, you know, I'm not exactly advocating for them to have done that, but I think Moses is like a starting caliber right tackle. And so good for the Jets because they gave up next to nothing. They literally moved back like 20 picks in the fourth round and I think threw in a sixth. That's not a whole lot for a guy that might start for them. So they have to find a way to address right tackle. We'll see what they do, but still waiting for that. I didn't think they would address interior backup maybe before they would address starting tackle, but here we are, and hope that more is coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. More is coming. The question is, what is that more going to be? We hope there's more offensive line signings, but I mentioned off the top, we're going to run through these rumors now. All the guys the Titans have been connected to, none of them are on the offensive line. So maybe there's still stuff cooking there. We just haven't heard about it yet. But let's get to these reports. Let's get to these rumors. I'm going to run through the list of all the players the Titans were connected to recently, and then we can talk about them each individually. So starting off, the Titans have been engaged in trade talks with the Kansas City Chiefs for franchise tagged player cornerback Legarius Sneed. That would be a huge one. We'll get into that in a second. They're also going to be hosting former Miami Dolphins linebacker Jerome Baker for a visit on Thursday. That would be a huge signing. They obviously need the inside linebacker help. And then Diana Rossini reported the Titans are targeting safety Justin Simmons. They were apparently in on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He got signed to the Eagles, so they pivoted to Justin Simmons. We'll break that down in a second. And then they're also interested in defensive end Eric Armstead, assuming he gets cut by the San Francisco 49ers on Wednesday. They're also going to be hosting defensive end Chase Young on a visit, also with the 49ers last year. So bringing in Chase Young. And then there's two more guys that we can talk about here that these sources are a little less reputable or a little less believable to me. One of them is the Titans being potentially involved in trade talks for Josh Sweat, Eagles defensive end Josh Sweat, a guy I wanted the Titans to draft a handful of years ago in the first round. He ended up falling late to day three in the draft, but now apparently the Titans engaged in trade talks, although this is coming from a report, Jake Rabati, who I guess he's an Eagles insider. I don't really know him. I'm not aware of breaking news that he's had outside of some Eagles signings, which he was able to break, so maybe there is something there, but this isn't a reputable source. This isn't one of your, you know, Diana Rossini, Jordan Schultz, Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero, Mike Garofalo. Like, this is not that level of source. So we're going to have questions about this one. And then the last guy, And then the last guy is defensive tackle DJ Reader, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. Josina Anderson reported that the Titans, Lions, and Bengals are among teams showing, quote, strong interest in defensive tackle DJ Reader. And we mentioned this a few days ago. This is kind of old news. This is from Monday. But the update here is that DJ Reader will be visiting the Lions on Thursday. And no such meeting with the Titans. So,
and can't you see Terrell Williams, new Lions D-line coach, getting along really well with DJ Reader on that meeting? If Reader's healthy, I mean, I could see that being quite the pairing in Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good fit. So anyway, let's go back to the top of the list here. Back to cornerback Legarius Sneed, franchise tagged by the Chiefs, given permission to seek a trade. The Titans are apparently in on Sneed, which I didn't really expect. So we did a whole video on our YouTube channel, the Music City Audible podcast, last week already discussing should the Titans trade for Legarius Sneed and T. Higgins. We were looking at the franchise tagged players, and we kind of came out of that, both of us saying no. Well, my opinion has changed since we did that video, because I think maybe I was overestimating the cost or what it would take to get Sneed. And here's what the latest is. So this all started when Brad Steinbrook, a reporter who I have not heard of in his Twitter bio, he claims to be a Cleveland Browns insider and reporter, writes for a few publications, a member of the Pro Football Writers Association of America. So he is a guy. I mean, he seems to be a legit guy. I just don't know how legit he is at breaking news like this. But he said the Tennessee Titans have emerged with serious interest in signing cornerback Legarius Sneed. Talks will continue, but Tennessee is very interested. He then quote tweeted himself and said, a third round pick has been discussed, sources say. So there's two ways to look at this. And is this guy making this stuff up? Because the Titans don't have a 2024 third round pick. So what third round pick have they been discussing? Is this guy just making this stuff up? Or there's the optimistic way to look at it, which is, well, the Titans have been discussing a third round pick, so it must be the 2025 third round pick, which would be a lot more palatable trade to give up if you're the Titans looking ahead to the future, where you have a lot of immediate holes to fill and you don't have a third round pick this year. But if you can get a cornerback like Legarius Sneed, a high level elite cornerback in this league for next year's third round pick, that sounds a lot more interesting to me. The other options that I've heard people throwing around out there are perhaps the Titans trade their second round pick for Legarius Sneed and the Chiefs' third round pick. So you get back a day two pick there, even though you're giving one up. That'd be a pretty big move down for the Titans. If you think about the Titans are picking pretty high in these rounds, the Chiefs are picking last in these rounds. So another potential option there is the Titans give up their 2024 second round pick for the Chiefs' 2024 second round pick and Legarius Sneed, which would be a pretty substantial move up for the Chiefs. I mean, the Titans are picking sixth in the second round. The Chiefs are picking 32nd in the second round. So that's almost like moving up a full round there if you're the Chiefs. I think that's the kind of deal that could get it done. And the other stuff that's been discussed, you know, the future third round pick, or maybe it's this year's sixth round pick plus a future third round pick, or some kind of package there where you can actually stomach giving up that draft capital knowing what kind of player you're going to get in return. The Chiefs have given up a lot of leverage here by having Legarius Sneed, you know, by announcing that he's okay to seek a contract, by franchise tagging him. If they let him walk after this year for nothing, then maybe they get a comp pick 2 years down the line. But if they want to get something for him now, they got to trade him for whatever they can get. And the other side of the equation is whatever team is acquiring him is going to pay him a huge contract. So that means that he's got to be willing to sign with that team. Otherwise, the team's not going to want to make that trade. We saw this happen with the Texans and Laramie Tunsil. If you make a huge trade like this, you give up a bunch of picks without having that contract in place, then the player has all the leverage because they're like, well, you just gave a bunch of picks for me. You almost have to pay me whatever I want now. So that I say that to say that if Legarius Sneed is like, well, I'm not going to sign with that team because their offer is not good enough, then that team would then be like, well, then we're not going to trade for him. So we're going to pull our offer back. So even if there is a team out there that has a better offer compensation wise to the Chiefs, if their offer to Sneed is not as good, then they might pull out of the deal and leave the Titans as the best offer out there. So, and this isn't the only reporting out there. So Brad Steinbrook said this. Aaron Wilson also said, Chiefs franchise player and lockdown corner Legarius Sneed is drawing interest from multiple NFL teams, including Titans, in active trade scenarios, per league sources. No firm offer yet, but dialogue remains active in a fluid situation. And then Terry McCormick also tweeted, I'm told the Titans' interest in Chiefs cornerback Legarius Sneed is, quote, active, but another source said as of last night they had not put an offer on the table. Not having third-round pick is an issue. Titans can't afford to give up second-rounder and go a whole day without a pick. Would a 2025 pick work? So I agree with Terry there. Giving up this year's second-rounder and going all of day two without a pick, not an option for the Titans. They got too many holes to fill. They need to infuse this offense with young talent. We've been talking nonstop about wide receiver, offensive tackle in some order for the first two picks. So I agree. But the other scenarios I just discussed, I think would be possible and could be enough to get this deal done. But regardless, it's just crazy to see, you know, this isn't speculation anymore. The Titans have real reported interest from three different sources that they are in on the L'Jarius Sneed sweepstakes.
Well, I'm probably dreaming when I say this, but I'm going to back myself up in a second. If there's any chance in hell that the Chiefs are interested in a 2025-3, Paul Kuharsky pointed out, and he's right, that teams view picks that are a year away from being like one round lesser than the current year that you're in, right? So that might sound confusing the way I worded it, but if the Chiefs are interested in a 2025-3, I would offer them this year's fourth. You know what I mean? Because that's essentially what Paul is saying, right? That's the equivalent. Next year's three is equivalent to this year's fourth because they got to wait a whole year for it. So I want the Titans to target a corner with this year's fourth round pick. You know what I mean? So if you get L'Jarius Sneed for it, that's a no-brainer, in my opinion. I'll also add that sometimes, and this is the optimistic side of it, players don't always have the value that we think they do in trades, okay? I just saw friggin', you can't tell me that you would have predicted Deontay Johnson gets traded from the Steelers. Deontay Johnson's a legit, like, number two receiver. I think you'd agree. A guy that's capable of putting up 1,000 yards. He's one of the best 30, 35 receivers in the NFL, hands down. He gets traded for, like, a player and a sixth. So I don't think it's way, like, I love L'Jarius Sneed, but I don't think he's like a Jalen Ramsey in his prime, Darrell Revis in his prime type of player, right? I don't think it's crazy to say he might be like a Deontay Johnson version of a cornerback. So if that's all it took to get Deontay Johnson, I don't think it's crazy to think the Chiefs might have to eventually accept like a fourth rounder for him. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that the Chiefs have already franchise tagged him, they're reportedly not working on a long-term deal. They've given him permission to seek a trade and all the other reasons I just mentioned, the Titans would have the leverage here. The Chiefs do not have leverage. So they're going to end up having to accept an offer that they maybe isn't as good as what they thought just to get something for him. Or they can obviously keep him, let him play this year on the tag, let him walk at the end of this season and get a comp pick 2 years from now. But that's a long time. It's a long ways away. I mean, maybe they think L'Jarius Sneed helps them get closer to a three-peat, so they want to bring him back for one more season and not accept, you know, lesser value in a trade. But I kind of lean the other way. I think something does get done. And the other thing about this is, you know, we're hearing all these reports about how there's offers out there. The Titans are interested. There's teams active in trade talks. That indicates to me that the Chiefs are putting this out there because they are hoping to get a better offer. They're hoping to play the media up here to see if they can get, you know, a bidding war going for Sneed to get a better offer for him because they're like, well, we have an offer. Maybe we don't really like it. But again, I think they're going to be forced to take it if they want anything for Sneed aside from just declining all offers and letting him play one more year on the tag. So that's where things are at right now. We'll see if anything gets done, but I do think this is real. This is not just baseless speculation. The Titans are interested in Sneed. So this is definitely something to keep an eye on here as we move forward. So me personally as a fan, like I'm honestly getting pretty excited with all these reports about L'Jarius Sneed. I'm at the point where if the Titans don't make the trade for him, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm not there yet because I think they need another corner and at the risk of peeing on your parade, so to speak, I think I'd rather sign Kendall Fuller in free agency than give up draft capital. This team is so starved of young players on rookie contracts. Like I like Sneed a lot, but the way they've approached free agency so far hasn't been overly aggressive. Now that could change what all the other rumors were about to address. They're linked to a ton of really good football players. And if they land a bunch of them, maybe it makes more sense, you know, to trade for Sneed and try to contend for the AFC South this year. But as of now, the way the approach has been, adding guys like Charles and Kenneth Murray, you know, guys we've got some questions about, I think it makes more sense to hold on to your draft capital and try to draft well because, God, this team needs young talent.
Well, yeah, as long as they can actually go out and sign another corner, and because they definitely need one, trading for Sneed gives you one that you are absolutely certain about. The thing with Kendall Fuller to me is I think he's going to sign for a good bit of money, maybe close to Sneed. I mean,
I don't think it'll be anywhere close, personally.
I kind of think Kendall Fuller's contract is going to be worth more than what the Titans signed to Chidobe Awuzie for. So if that's the case, like, do the Titans do that when they could pay a little bit more money and the draft pick and go get Sneed, who's I think, a definitely a better corner than Kendall Fuller, who's still very good, but not quite on that same elite level. So we'll see where this goes. Anyway, let's move on to the next piece of news here. The Titans will be hosting linebacker Jerome Baker on a visit this Thursday. That's per Adam Schefter. And this is huge because we saw linebackers just absolutely flying off the board on Tuesday. There's not a lot of options past Jerome Baker now. I mean, the Titans did sign Kenneth Murray, so they got one inside linebacker, but they still need a second starter or starting quality guy. Jerome Baker actually fits really well next to Kenneth Murray, so that would be a good signing. I think if he comes in on Thursday, they can't let him out the door, because beyond Baker, the linebacker options are just so thin now.
And some of the players we talked about potentially targeting at inside linebacker on that Kenneth Murray episode, which was just like a day old, are already off the board, right? Willie Gay, I think, signed with the New Orleans Saints. Josie Jewell, I think, signed with the Carolina Panthers. This one would make a lot of sense. Now, look, I'm not going to use it to justify the Kenneth Murray signing, because I see a lot of people already saying, oh, he fits so well and compliments. He would also fit well next to a guy that's good at doing the things that Kenneth Murray is bad at doing, right? Let's state the obvious. But Jerome Baker would be a candidate to wear the green dot, you know, and call the plays. That's something he's done in Miami. That's something Kenneth Murray's not a good fit to do. And he's also really good in coverage, right? And that's something Kenneth Murray is bad at. And I guess the size-wise, you know, Baker's a little undersized. Murray's at about 240. So I think, you know, the size could complement each other. There are other things I really like about Jerome Baker. He was coached in his first year by Frank Bush, current inside linebackers coach for the Titans. So there's a connection there. He's essentially had like 100 tackles every year since he's been in the league. He's an extremely productive player. He's got a couple interceptions under his belt, ton of PBUs, couple sacks as well. This is a good football player, in my opinion, a good inside linebacker, a good starting caliber inside linebacker. I don't think the Dolphins would have cut him if they, you know, money wise, like, yeah, this is what happens when you've traded for Jalen Ramsey and you've paid Tyreek Hill and traded for Bradley Chubb and paid Bradley Chubb. Like, these are the sacrifices you eventually have to make. They signed Jordan Poyer for 1 year, $2 million, right? Like, they're looking for value signings in free agency. Miami is right now, and Baker cutting him saved them $10 million. Like, they needed that money. They didn't cut him because he's a bad player. They cut him because they tried to get him to revise his contract. He understandably said no. And I think this one's going to, I think you and I are going to be back really soon, probably on Thursday, doing a full episode on this Jerome Baker side.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just because the need is huge, the fit is perfect, I think you got to bring Baker in here. The only thing to watch out for is the medicals. He suffered a sprained MCL, injured wrist last year, so a couple injuries he was dealing with. But they're bringing him in for a visit, as I said, on Thursday. And that, the whole reason you do that is for a chance to check the medicals.
And you could do that during a visit.
Yeah, so again, just because the options left out there behind Baker are barren. You didn't even mention Patrick Queen signed with the Steelers. He was a guy we were connecting to the Titans big time. So not a lot else out there if they don't get Jerome Baker. So we'll see where this goes. But I agree, Justin. I feel like sometime on Thursday, we're going to be back on here taping our instant reaction to Jerome Baker signing with the Titans. All right, let's move on to the next guy on our list here. Diana Russini reported the Titans are targeting Justin Simmons, safety, former Denver Bronco, who's still playing at a very high level. Obviously, the Titans have a big need at safety, and Diana Russini reported that the Titans were looking at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson until he was signed by the Philadelphia Eagles for north of $30 million in contract value there. So they pivoted to Justin Simmons, who, like I said, getting up there in years, he's 30 years old now, I think similar, if not the same age as Kevin Byard, but still very productive. Been a second team all-pro guy like almost every year of his career, including last season where he's still playing well. So I think this would be a great fit. Obviously, there's a huge need there, and we'll see what the safety market looks like. You just mentioned Jordan Poyer signing a one-year, $2 million deal with the Dolphins. You got Geno Stone signing two-year, $15 million. But then the safety market's crazy right now because you got Xavier McKinney getting $68 million, and then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, 3 years, over $30 million. Like, what would the market for Justin Simmons even look like here if the Titans were to sign him?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have no idea how Chauncey Gardner-Johnson signs a one-year prove-it deal with Detroit last year. After entering the market, after he led the league in interception, he enters the market, his market's way cooler than he thought it was going to be, signs a one-year prove-it deal with Detroit, is hurt the whole year, does nothing, and then gets 3 years, $33 million from the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't understand. I spend hours every day researching the NFL, and I'll never understand how something like that happens. Justin Simmons, I'll keep it short. We've talked about they need to sign a safety. Would be a home run signing, in my opinion. I don't care that he's an older guy. They cut ties with an older guy in Kevin Byard. Why don't I care? Because he's playing at a higher level than Kevin Byard is. I think he's aged a little better than Byard has. It just happens, right? It is what it is. He's still a good football player. You said it's similar to Baker. I don't think the Broncos would have really cut him if they don't take on the largest dead cap hit in NFL history in Russell Wilson. These are the sacrifices when you have to make, again, excuse me, when you make a decision like that and take on like $85 million across 2 years in dead cap. Just can't afford Simmons. They needed the financial relief that came with releasing him. Good football player. We've talked about the Titans' need to add a safety. Right now they've got Amani Hooker and essentially nothing else. Kayvon Wallace and Terrell Edmonds are both free agents, haven't signed somewhere else. Justin Simmons would be a home run addition next to Amani Hooker. I would love to see that in the defensive backfield next season.
Yeah, I agree. And we can talk more about the fit and everything if this signing actually happens. But as far as how realistic is this, I think very.
Well, interesting. Destin Adams, I believe his name is, covers the Colts for A to Z Sports. He's pretty connected with that Colts franchise. He said they're also interested in Justin Simmons. So Simmons may be choosing between AFC South rivals here.
Yeah, and if that's the case, the Titans need to outbid the Colts. They cannot let him go to Indianapolis under any circumstances. I don't care what it costs, because the Titans have this huge need at safety and the fit is perfect. So we'll see if anything materializes there. Let's talk about the next rumor here on the list. The Titans are apparently interested in defensive end Arik Armstead once he will be released. It seems almost certain that he will be released from the San Francisco 49ers, and The Titans have interest there. I think the exact tweet from Diana Rossini was teams are expected to have interest. That's teams plural. Are expected to have interest in Arik Armstead. Sources tell me one of them includes the Titans. GM Rand Carthon knows Armstead from his days in San Francisco. We've also seen reports that the Bengals and the Lions are interested, so the Titans will have competition here. But boy, would he be a perfect fit. I almost think he's... He could be the most important guy on this list, but then Jerome Baker is like the last serviceable starting quality linebacker, so I struggle to say that he's the most important. But as far as a Denico Autry replacement, a versatile guy who can play inside and outside, rush the passer, great against the run, really good run stopper, I think the Titans should do whatever it takes to bring Arik Armstead in.
You said everything I wanted to say, okay? This would make the gut punch of losing Denico Autry, I think, a lot easier for me, right? Because he's a guy, like you said, he's got the inside-outside versatility. He's bigger, he's longer. He's like 6'7", 290. He's huge. Had a great year this past year, coming off an injury in 2022. 7 sacks this year. PFF gave him an elite passer rushing grade of like 85.1. This guy had a terrific season. He would be outstanding fit on this defensive line next to Jeffrey Simmons. The perfect replacement for Autry. And honestly, you kind of hinted at it. You didn't want to fully commit. I'll fully commit. I think I want this one even more than I want Jerome Baker and Justin Simmons. Right. I really want both of those guys too, but I'm partial to D linemen. I hate that they lost Autry. I told you how I'm worried about this team being able to stop the run. He's always been a good run stopper and pass rusher. You would keep Arden Key in that sort of rotational pass rushing role that he was in last season by making this addition. So I would be over the moon with this one.
Yeah, I think this one's got to happen if he hits the market, which all indications are he will. So,
and by the way, I don't know if it'll have a huge impact on it, but the 49ers just acquired a D lineman in a trade as we're recording this. Malik Collins from the Houston Texans. I know they're different players, but I think they are preparing to cut ties with Arik Armstead.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, we got a few more I want to hit really quickly. Next one is that Chase Young is expected to visit the Titans. He will be visiting the Panthers and the Saints first. The Panthers visit reportedly will be Wednesday today. Saints, no timeline yet. The report was that Chase Young will visit the Titans after these other two teams. So interesting here. I'm not sure if they want to take a look at his medicals as well. A guy that the Niners traded a third round pick for during the middle of last season and have apparently no interest in re-signing. Bit of a red flag there. But if you're taking a flyer on a guy who has all the talent in the world and maybe just needs the motivation or the coaching to unlock the rest of his potential, I'd be okay with taking a flyer on Chase Young, because that kind of pass rushing talent, that pure talent, the Titans have never had somebody who can do what Chase Young can do. The question is, can he put it all together and actually do it at a high level for a full season and stay motivated and stay healthy? But this one to me would be an interesting flyer to take. I think you'd get him in as like sort of a rotational designated pass rush role, not an every down role, unless you can't get Arik Armstead for whatever reason. But this one's interesting, but apparently he will be visiting the Titans this week.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I love this guy coming out of Ohio State. And after the rookie year, like, I thought it was a sure thing. He was the next pass rushing menace in the NFL. And then he essentially lost 2 years to an ACL, couldn't recapture his form, strengthen that knee. It's been a really unfortunate roller coaster for Chase Young. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. And if it's wrong, I don't think I'll look stupid. It is what it is. I don't think this visit ever happens. I don't think he ever gets out of Carolina anymore.
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
It's already been reported he's visiting there first. Carolina just traded Brian Burns. Look, maybe they play it slow because they've got a visit set up with Jadeveon Clowney, apparently, as well. So maybe they take their time to make a decision, and that allows him to get out of their building and to Tennessee. But then if he goes to New Orleans, you know, they've got a similar need, I think, across the edge there. I don't think this visit ever happens. And I'm going to say something else that maybe you're not committed to. I don't really care if it does or doesn't. Like, I see him as that similar DPR. You now
I
know
kind of
that
agree.
Is,
like,
by the way.
If it happens, cool. If it doesn't happen, oh well. Not
I want Armstead so much more than I want this guy. And I know they're different players, but I think they have a need for an Armstead type player, and not as big of a need for. I see Young being a designated pass rusher, sort of like what Arden Key gives them. You know, really good value in that role right now. I'm intrigued, like you said, because the raw talent, I thought he was worthy of being the number one, two overall pick the year that he was. But I'm just so much more interested in Armstead. And I don't think this visit happens. And I don't see this marriage as one that really excites me.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. It'd be a flyer. Like, you're not paying him a lot of money. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Again, like you said, he may sign with one of these other two teams. Okay, the last two we're going to go really quickly on, because DJ Reader, we've talked about. Reportedly the Titans have strong interest. He'd be an amazing fit next to Simmons, but he's visiting the Lions on Thursday. Wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get out of Detroit and never has a chance for the Titans to pursue him further.
Yeah. Like I've got nothing else to add. I mentioned a couple I don't know what episode it's been episodes now, that I think they need a run stopper. They need a big body to plug up the middle. He fits the bill. If you're not paying for an Eric Arden, I don't know, you could pay both, but if you're not paying for an Armstead, maybe you shell out a couple of extra bucks to a DJ Reader, who I'm a huge fan of. They need a big body to eat double teams, clog gaps, and allow Kenneth Murray to kind of run the wrong way when they're trying to stop the run. So I'd like to see something happen there. But I don't see that as being a strong market for DJ Reader in Tennessee.
And he's going to be expensive. I think whoever ends up signing him is going to spend a lot. So we'll keep an eye on that report as well. And then the last one is that the Titans could be interested in trading for Josh Sweat. This one I'm almost writing off entirely. If it wasn't for all the interest in other D linemen like Armstead and Chase Young, like, clearly the Titans are targeting this position. So maybe there's a chance, but what could you possibly be giving up for Josh Sweat at this point with the Titans draft capital, with where Sweat is, like a sixth round pick, a seventh round pick? If they can do that, sure, they should make it happen. But this one feels a little bit far-fetched, and this is a report I'm not buying. It's not from any of the big people. It's not from, you know, Diana Rossini, Rapoport, Pelissero, Garofalo, Jordan Schultz, not even like Aaron Wilson. Like, who is Jake Robati, really? So I don't know if we should even put stock into this one.
Yeah, I'll say this is one of the rare instances where I'll say I don't think draft capital is really a problem, because I don't think he's going to fetch more than a sixth or a seventh, in all honesty. And the Titans have like three of those. So if they wanted to make a move like that, I'd probably support it. I don't think they're going to find what are the chances of them finding a gem? Like I talked about them needing on rookie deals in the sixth or seventh rounds, pretty low. You're like 99% to get more value out of Josh Sweat, a proven player that's already, you know, proven himself at this level. So no, I'd be in favor of it if they can't land the other guys. In fact, I think I'd rather trade that for Josh Sweat than sign Chase Young. I think Sweat's a bit more versatile, offers a little more than Young does on early downs. So that would intrigue me, but I think our main focus here it has been on, you know, Justin Simmons, Jerome Baker, and Eric Armstead, and rightfully so, because those are the ones that seem to have really legit smoke attached to those reports.
Exactly. It's not that I don't want the Titans to go get Josh Sweat. I just don't necessarily buy this report because I don't know that this source is reliable or valid, legit, whatever word you want to use. So that's where I'm at on it. I think they would be great if they went and got him. I've loved Josh Sweat since he came out, and when I thought the Titans should have taken him at 25 overall. That was the year they traded up for Rashawn Evans, ended up drafting Harold Landry in the second round. Josh Sweat was still on the board in the fourth round. They could have taken him and they didn't, but so it would be a nice full circle moment for me as a fan if they were to trade for Josh Sweat, but I just don't know that this report is worth putting any stock into. So I will say, if the Titans are able to pull off all of these moves, all the moves we just talked about, that being trading for Snead, signing Baker, signing Armstead, and getting one of these edges, and signing Justin Simmons, this defense is ready to compete this year. If you make all of these moves, now I don't know if they're going to be able to make all of them, if they're only going to make a handful. If you only make a handful, you might still have too many holes to be super competitive this year, and it'll make it kind of a weird plan to even put this much money into these other guys, especially the veteran guys. But if they get all of these guys, the Titans defense could be, I mean, they have to gel, they have to all come together and learn a new system and learn to play together. But that would be one of the most talented defenses in the NFL if they make all these moves.
It's unrealistic to expect all four, especially when you're factoring in a trade for Snead. But give me Simmons, Baker, and Armstead, and I'll be really happy. Then we can talk about the need at corner and nose tackle that will still exist. But give me Baker, Simmons, and Armstead. You don't got to give up capital for any of them. I think so. Like, I don't think the Baker contract's going to cost them a lot. Simmons, being an older guy, I don't think would cost a ton either. Armstead's probably the more expensive one out of the three if I had to make a guess, but give me those three and I'd be very excited about
it. Yeah, me too. So we'll be back again as soon as any of these signings are reported. We're going to hop on the mic, tape our instant reactions. We've got reactions up now to Kenneth Murray, Chidobe Awuzie, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Tony Pollard. Those are all in the audio feed and in the video, the YouTube feed, so check those out if you missed them. Make sure you're subscribed to the Music City Audible podcast. Turn on the notifications bell so you get an alert when our next video drops, because we're going to be reacting to every signing, like I said. And a reminder, this episode has been brought to you by Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville and Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville. Justin, we'll be back soon.
We're going to be back real soon. Eventually, we're going to have a backup quarterback to talk about, too. Right. And we'll do a whole episode on that one. Because you know they're targeting someone there. So,
and a kicker.
That's right. The kicker, I guess. Unless they re-sign Nick Folk, maybe we won't do a whole episode. But we're going to be back soon, real soon. Maybe later today, maybe tomorrow. This is turning into a daily podcast right now, which has never been a thing for us. But free agency's got everyone hyped up. We're hyped up about it. We're making time to do these daily. So we appreciate everyone's support. The podcast numbers have been fantastic over these last couple of days. So we appreciate everyone. And we'll be back really, really soon, probably before you know it.
Yeah, probably maybe later today. We'll see. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Until next time, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.